Now we're going to visit with Kevin Wooster. He has a blog called On the Other Hand. You can find it at sdpb.org/Wooster. And Kevin, thanks for joining us in the moment. You have an education story for us as well.
Well, I do, Kara. It's good to be back. I was happy to be able to go to Wolf Creek School on the Pine Ridge Reservation, which is actually one of the schools I haven't been to in my years of coverage down there, so I look forward to that. And it's, you know, there's a lot of sort of the rural area contradiction in schools on the reservations because they're, a lot of them are growing, and Wolf Creek is one of those in a, you know, an isolated area, yet there's a lot of growth in the school. And so they're trying, they've got this kind of happy mixed blessing of more kids going into the school, four kindergarten classes coming into a school that was when one of the co-principals, Daryl Eagleble, started there 35 years ago, he said there were 303 to 350 kids in the school, which is preschool through eighth grade. And now there are about 750, and wow, they're looking at being over 800 with the need for a new school in a time of difficult finances, you know, because there are they're actually a state school district. The Ogallala Lakota County School District on the reservation is a state-approved, accredited school district. But because of the limited tax base there, the property tax base, they also really rely a lot on impact aid and federal grants. So they'll be trying to go to Washington and talk to people in this very tight environment about seeing if they can get that new school built down there.
A new building, because right now they're bursting at the seams. They're using closets as office space.
Oh, they are, and every corner and every niche is being used down there. And they took Daryl Eagleble took me through on a great tour, and really, it's a nicely kept facility. It's been added to, but it's very, very crowded. And at one point, we were in the middle of this little secondary gym that's used as a lunchroom, and it was completely packed. But they have a system that's very, very efficient for moving 800 people through that in about an hour when you count the kids and the staff and everybody. So it's almost military in its shift-like process. And it was crazy and noisy, but kids were getting fed, you know, and that's one of the things down there. You know, school meals are so important to a lot of kids, and obviously with the poverty situation on the reservation down there, these kids get fed breakfast and lunch, and those are really important meals to those kids. So very important to get them fed, and also at that school to get them fed very efficiently. So they were doing that. And again, people working out of closets. You got a school library that's now divided into little tiny study areas for special education needs. And if you try to work your way back to Daryl's office, there's staffers doing this, set up on desks here and there, and it's just crowded, and yet everybody seems to be getting along real well.
And we're seeing this growth in population because...
Well, you know, that's the good and the bad of that too, because I mean there is a strong birth rate among young Native Americans, and many of them either stay there on the reservation or come back there on the reservation. And you know, as Daryl says, that's home, and there's a comfort level there that often is difficult to find off the reservation. So you may get young families or single moms or single parents that go off somewhere, and then they come back and they bring their kids with them. And Daryl and other administrators there have to be very flexible. He said, he's still got kids coming in when I was there a day before yesterday that are, you know, people coming in and saying, can we finish the school year here, that may have gone somewhere else and come back. And they have to be very flexible, and they try to be very flexible. And, you know, because they face lots of challenges down there that aren't just academic and aren't just, you know, graduation rate issues.
And talk a little bit, Kevin, about how, I mean, the retention of teachers and keep getting kids to school.
Well, you can imagine that's very challenging in that isolated area. And they have a lot of staff that live there nearby or across the border in Nebraska. And they're always hustling, obviously, to get teachers, to get staffers, to get bus drivers, because they are very much committed to getting their kids to the door and not just drop them off at Highway 18 at a stop and have the parents shuttle them down for a quarter of a mile or a mile or 4 miles. I think he told me one kid lives 7 miles off off any really good road. And they figure out ways with the regular buses, with vans, and with SUVs that are covered with mud to try and make sure they get kids to school every day and do what they can. And, you know, those are just challenges that you don't deal with everywhere. And so, yes, getting teachers, holding teachers is a difficult job, but they're, you know, I saw a lot of busy teachers in every classroom, and you know, they have some counseling staff there that he said they're very fortunate to have and to keep, and that just the terrain and those issues and other very serious issues down there that the school administrators have to deal with.
And I hate to ask, but I'm going to, test scores.
Test scores not where they want them to be, well below state average. As our graduation rates, and you know, it's Daryl is not afraid to talk about that, and that they know they have a lot of work to do. But he also puts it in perspective by you know, recounting these issues that we're looking at here, and also the overriding issue for a time on the reservation. I've covered the story over the years, the higher suicide rates among youth down there, sometimes nationally. Leading suicide rates, which is about the worst way to lead anything, in those horrible strings that we had in the last few years of suicide after suicide of young people down there. And you know, Daryl really put it in perspective. He said we were fighting during that period of time obviously to try and get our kids' scores up, but we were really fighting for it to make sure we didn't lose any kids. And he said, so that was really, for a time, that was our main effort every day, was making sure we were in touch with these kids, that we knew if there was anybody in trouble, and we responded quickly. And he said, by the end of the year, I looked at our test scores, and I said, they're not where we wanted to be, but we didn't lose any kids this year. And he said, we had to celebrate that as a school.
Wow, that gives me the chills.
It does. Yeah, me too. Me too.
So talk about the fight, then, that they need to do for funding if the tax base isn't there. Is it all federal money? Is it state money? Or how does that work?
They get their sheriffs of state money in the same system that any school district would get it. But, you know, so much of their money is much of their land is trust land, and it's that patchwork of private and trust property and tribal land that they really, really heavily rely on the impact aid that they get for them. In the fact that they don't have much of a regular tax base because of the federal property. And then they also rely heavily on grants. And so that's what they're going to be doing. Their school board, which includes Brian Brewer, who's, you know, well known on the reservation down there as a longtime leader of the Lakota Nation Invitational Tournament and a former tribal chairman there, a very articulate, thoughtful guy, is part of this very active school board that's going to be in D.C. and working with our congressional delegation to try and get the expanded facility there that this school and its children really need so badly. So that's going to be an essential issue, and it's going to be a big coverage. And I'm sure looking forward to going back down there and I'd love to be able to cover it on through to them building that new school.
So talk a little bit, Kevin, about we're seeing this population shift happening on the reservation as well, and we're seeing it through this school. Are we seeing other areas having an impact as population continues to grow on the reservation?
Yeah, and I think that if you drive, I mean, this is a kind of a non-related school issue, but if you drive around on the reservation and see areas where you just, resources make it difficult for trash cleanup, for, you know, sanitation system cleanup and management, now, those are all challenges that they face. Not declining challenges, but increasing challenges. And the other schools in the schools are saying, it's interesting, just as an aside quickly, that you've got these schools on the reservation, Bateson School, Redshirt School, Rockyford School, Wolf Creek, all isolated. And then they've got a virtual high school down there that affects all the schools that's approved by the state that they help kids get degrees in very flexible ways through these little facilities they set up at the schools. And so they're working on that to try and handle this kind of this glut of people, this good glut of people in many ways. And the others, there are schools also that are tribally controlled grant schools that are also driven by grants, and those, but they have more tribal control over them rather than the local school board. The tribe and the board manage. And then the BIE, Bureau of Indian Education Schools at Pine Ridge, that are more of the old school type thing, and the Red Cloud School, it's a parochial school. So they're all dealing with kid numbers to one degree or another, and of course the tribal officials are dealing with these other population shift numbers, and I saw people in houses that clearly didn't get trash pickup, so they're just piling it up in the back of a pickup until they can, you know, get somebody to come get it. So, I mean, that's one obvious issue when you drive around, and there are many, many more outside of education and outside of those kinds of issues.
So Wolf Creek School has now, what, four sections of kindergarten? And yeah. I mean, so, but these kids continue to move up the chain. And
yeah,
so and over the next 4 years or 12 years, what's going to happen by high school?
They're not expecting to go to three kindergarten classes or two kindergarten classes. In fact, they might go to five.
Oh, my.
And they're trying to, you know, because they also don't want to get the classes too big, because a lot of these kids need special attention if we're going to try and get these test scores up. There are cultural hurdles they have to jump, obviously, and the poverty issues they have, and the isolation, the land geography issues, and the weather issues, and the horrible issue like suicide. They've got all these things tied together, and there are going to be more kids coming in. So, I mean, they really need that new school. And he's talking about long range. Maybe there's a need for a new high school down there. I mean, apart from the ones they already exist. You know, this is preschool through eight, and they've got a really active preschool program too that's really helping, I think, kids as they enter that kindergarten. But they may be looking at a high school at that location, even though it's only six or seven miles from Pine Ridge, where there's a high school, just because of the growth down there.
Well, and you look at those little faces. They're just sponges, preschool, kindergarten at that age too. And so what, I mean, I'm sure it's tugged on your heartstrings just a titch.
It is. You can't walk through there with all the challenges and with all the problems and with everything else going on and not feel inspired. And oddly enough, you feel somehow hopeful that we're going to figure this out, but they sure can't do it alone down there, and they need a new school facility, and they need assistance. And somehow everybody's got to figure out how to, when we get by these horrible issues like suicide, hopefully, to help with those test scores and help with those graduation rates, because, you know, he's making some gains. They're seeing more of their kids go to Red Cloud, which is a tougher high school to get in, but they also send more kids off to school. And other schools, high schools, are trying to match that, trying to compete with Red Cloud for sending kids off to higher education in one way. So it's certainly something they're working at as they deal with all these other issues.
Okay, and you'll have a blog post up for people to read and comment on this as well?
I will. I'm working at it, trying to get, I'm looking for Brian Brewer. I couldn't connect with him, and I'd like to talk to him a little bit, and then I'll be putting something up on this and hopefully following up on it.
Okay, Kevin Wooster, thank you so much.
Great to be here. Thanks.